Welcome to Beach Books and Beyond with me, Monique Chambers. Each week, I invite a different guest from a different walk of life to talk to me about books that they've read, which have influenced them, and books they suggest we take to the beach this summer. You've no excuse not to be well read. Welcome to Beach Books and Beyond with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week is Jim Dunn. Now, Jim, you retired to Malta after quite a career in PR for the travel and leisure industry.
Yes, I'm very fortunate at the moment. I live in Malta and I also live on another island called Mallorca.
Oh, okay.
So I spend a big chunk of my year doing the triangle between Malta, London, bits in London, and down to Mallorca.
So you just follow the sun?
I follow the sun. I seem to be attracted to islands, but I do love Malta. Malta is particularly lovely, and it really, I've been here 10 years.
Okay.
Blazing the trail of Renaissance in the three cities, and it really has improved a lot in the last 10 years.
Yes, it's really cleaned up down there, a lot going on, new restaurants
stuff. There's a lot still to do, but it's looking very good.
So is it a good travel destination for?
Well, I think Malta is. I think Malta should try and take its image, it's what it's selling, away from beaches. I know that's a terrible thing to say on this program, but away from beaches, because it has so much wonderful history, particularly in Valletta and in the villages. And I think get away from this four-star tourism on the beaches.
Yeah, go up a bit.
Go up a bit.
You actually wrote a book. Was this at the end of your career? You wrote your very private and public relations biography?
Yes, I did. I think to write an autobiography, you have to have a certain amount of ego, and if I can say that. And I thought that my story would be of interest to perhaps three sections of the public. One, it's a story of growing up gay in Scotland in the 60s, highly homophobic, very macho society, Rangers and Celtic football supporters fighting each other every weekend or every other night. Terrible situation there, and coming through that, and then meeting someone who has been my life partner and is here with me in Malta, and starting up a company in public relations, which you will know all about, and with no experience, no money, and no clients, and I think probably no offices to start with. And then it's a story of travel, because the specialist that we happened to land in, it certainly wasn't planned, was in the travel business.
Quite a happy accident, though.
Yes, so I was in the travel business for over 30 years, and I was in the industry when everything was free if you worked in the industry.
Okay.
It was amazing marketing budgets, amazing.
Oh, I remember those
days. Yes. So it was just a wonderful, wonderful period. Sadly, it is no more. Mm. Everyone's on the bottom line now, which is in a way understandable. But I had a wonderful time.
But this book, I'm just reading the back cover here. You've got you know, notices here from Peter Hobday of Radio 4.
Yes,
you've got Judith Chalmers.
Yes.
Everybody knows Judith Chalmers.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
That's quite something to have those people endorsing
your
book.
Thank you. Yes. Well, I was very fortunate to, in PR and the travel business, to get to know quite a lot of people in the media. Our job, as you know, was to get coverage for the clients in newspapers, magazines, and radio and television. So Peter is still a very good friend. He's in retirement and lives in Italy and in London. And Judy is still doing a lot of charity work, still very active. And Alan Wicker is featured somewhere else in the book. He became a great friend because we worked with him. He did lots of documentaries on Hong Kong, on Spain.
Yes.
And we helped him in the background set up things there.
He was somebody I used to watch. Used to be our Sunday night treat.
Wonderful.
I remember.
Yes, he was. A wonderful guy. I mean, so he always insisted in traveling in public transport. He never would take cars if he could possibly avoid
okay.
it. And he liked to meet his viewers.
Okay.
He liked to meet the people who watched his programs.
That's really nice.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. gone further
nice
up
man.
In my estimation.
A lovely man.
So when you travelled, were you an avid reader all your life? Was that something that you'd always take a book with you?
I have always had a book on the go, and I think I get that from my mother, because my early memories is of my mother reading books. I think she probably read fairly, you know, thrillers and, mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. Although I do remember her reading a book about the Kon-Tiki expedition, which
okay.
I've just recently reread myself. Again, it's travel. But since then, I've always had a book on the go. I have probably in Costa Rica, probably about 300-400 books
wow.
in the library.
Okay.
I like to think my main charity is sponsoring bookshops.
Well, thank you very much from all the bookshops in Malta.
Well, I do really, I don't order online. I know it's possibly a little bit more difficult in Malta, but I don't like ordering online. I
okay.
like to go to a bookshop
uh-huh.
and feel the book. And hopefully talk to somebody who knows a little bit about books. And usually you find somebody who's interested in books.
So do you do manage to buy books in Malta as well as
I do.
In New
yes.
York?
Oh, yes.
So,
yes. yes, yes. And I have one bookshop in London, John Sandow in Chelsea. And they will send me books if I need them or if I can't be bothered going
need.
Into... Yes,
I need
them. In fact, you know, it's interesting about books because I actually sometimes worry about going into a bookshop because I know I'm going to come out with 3 or 4 books. That's the problem.
And is it the carrying or is it the which one do you
no,
choose first?
It's just the cost as well, you know, and which one do I read next? And sometimes I don't make some very good choices, but the other thing about me is that I do not give up on a book.
Okay.
I cannot stop reading a book. Once I start it,
yeah.
I have got to continue, even if it's boring, and quite a
yeah,
few
no,
of them
I can't
can
do
be.
That. I sort of stop and then I go back when I think I'm in a better mood with
no,
it, or
no.
you just keep going.
Yes. And, for example, the book I'm reading at the moment mm-hmm. is The Story of San Michele
okay.
in Capri, The House and the Garden in Capri. This is by Axel Munte. Now, this book has been around in my life for about probably 30 years.
Okay.
This is the third copy. One got wet and damaged in a move, and the other one lost. And everyone tells me I really should read this book. So I'm reading it now.
I'm going to take good care of you while you're in
yeah,
the studio to
yeah,
make
so
sure
I don't
nothing
lose.
Happens. So I'm going to move my drink. Okay.
So it's very good. It's a story of a doctor who has his mind set on having a house on Capri. I'm halfway through it and he still hasn't got to Capri.
Okay.
So he's all about escapades and he lived in Lapland and in Milan and all. So it's a great
that.
Travel book as well as, but I'm also addicted to reading about homes.
Okay,
and
houses, design and that sort of thing.
And so I'm interested.
So that's got a bit of everything
so
in there for
so far,
you.
So far that'll do.
So normally your books are about homes, travel?
No, I have a very, I think you call it eclectic mm-hmm. list of books. I read book reviews, I talk to people, and if they say, you really should read, then I make a note of it and I look it up uh-huh. and I talk to the bookshop. So, I can be reading biographies, I can be reading travel books, I can be reading all sorts of books that just take my...
And do you read one at a time and just carry it with
yes,
you?
Yes, yeah.
Don't mix up books through the day and stuff. So.
No, I have tried that, but then I lose track of both
yeah,
of them.
I get yeah. confused and yes. I'm like, well, where's she gone?
Yes,
the character's
exactly.
in another book completely.
Yeah, yeah.
So you stick with one, just carry it with you all
I
the time.
I stick with one and I got to see it through and... Mm. You can have some awful times reading a book, really. Mm. So, you know, not all books, as we know, mm. are fantastic. Some very bad books are published these days, I say, which is a terrible thing to say, I know.
Yeah, but it is true.
It is true. And I think there should be a bit more selection on what is actually...
I think with there's, you know, self-publishing and there's, you know, if
yeah.
somebody just has a deadline and a book deal.
Yes.
You know, and they're famous, sometimes one can get through the net. They're
That's
not
right.
at their, not having their best year, whatever. So kind of forgive them, but...
Exactly.
But, you know,
yes.
please, Ricardo.
Yes, exactly, please.
So what books have you read through your life that you'd pass on, you'd recommend to a friend, you'd want to leave in a telephone box for somebody else to pick up? What sort of books are you like, oh, this made an impact on
I never
on
throw
you?
Away books.
No, you're a hoarder.
I can't bear to throw away books.
Not throw away, give away.
Give away. Occasionally, yes, but please give it to me back. Books don't... It's an odd thing, maybe it's not all that odd, but books don't have a long term, they don't last a long time with me. I don't remember really far back what I've read. Mm-hmm. Although one book recently, which is called Dadland, mm-hmm. by Keji Karoo, mm-hmm. and it's the story of her dad, who was a World War II hero.
Okay.
He went behind the lines, the German lines in France, and joined the Maquis, and basically blew up all sorts of things to support the effort. And at some point, he began to lose his memory, and she decided to go into his history, which he had never talked about in any great detail. Right. And it's the most, an amazing book, because it tells about his escapades during the war, and he was a real character. You know, he was a one-off. He just did his own thing. He never paid attention to anyone. He just did, but he was concentrating on the war effort. And his slip into dementia, and what she has to cope with in looking after him. Mm. And it goes from page to page. You're 1 minute you're in the war, next minute you're with him in present time. And I really would recommend that. Dadland is a really good book.
That's is it a bit disturbing? Because your expression is a bit like...
Yes, it is sad, but he's also very funny.
Okay.
And he's very funny even in his current state. And he is a war hero, and he did do one of these great unsung heroes that you never hear about at all.
So he's left you with a nice feeling at
a
the end of it.
A very nice
really...
feeling, and she should be very proud of that book. Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's one that moved you.
That certainly has moved me. If you want a laugh...
Go on.
And if you are a royal fan, which I am, good and bad, there's a wonderful book out. It's called Mom, Darling, 99 Glimpses of Princess Margaret.
Ooh.
Poor old Princess Margaret.
Not poor old.
No, she certainly wasn't poor.
She was never old either.
No, she was never old. She was always wonderful. This is by a wonderful writer, which I'm sure you know, called Craig Brown, mm-hmm. who's a great writer. And it's 99 Glimpses, and it's not a sycophantic book on royalty. It's not, you know, it's not, and then she did this, and then she opened that. It's his take on what sort of person she really was. And of course, we all know she is supposed to be, but we don't know, really, do we? She was supposed to be snobby, very offhand, very difficult. Throwing smoke in people's faces and
I
all
think
sorts
she was
of
a good time girl as well.
She was a good time girl. You know. She enjoyed herself and she enjoyed her position. But that's a really good book.
Okay.
Mom, Darling.
I'm going to look into it.
Yes, that's really good.
I was actually recently told, I was in Canada and Princess Anne was there doing a speech and I was there for that. And somebody met me on the street and we were chatting and they said, are you an undercover royal? And that was just the best thing anyone's ever said to me. So I feel like
undercover
I'm part
royal.
Of the family.
Yeah, exactly. You just have that look.
But there we go.
Yeah.
So what else? What else have you got for us?
Well, the book that I've just finished is about Bette Davis.
Okay.
Now, I picked this recommendation up not from a bookshop. It was from an Instagram posting because I do Instagram. And it's called Miss D and Me, Living with the Invincible Bette Davis. And it's by somebody called Catherine Cermak, who was her assistant in the latter days of her life. It's not a great book, I have to say.
Okay.
If you're really tuning in and reading it to hear about the great Bette Davis, the actress, it's not. It's actually about her. It's fairly sycophantic, and it's dry, and it doesn't really go into the most interesting bits about her life. But again, it was one I started, and I had to finish.
But you're more disappointed with the author than with Bette Davis?
No, certainly not Bette Davis. No, she was an old lady. She was charming. She had a nice life towards the end, and a great career, obviously. But it's not a very good book.
Because she had an interesting... reputation.
She did, yes.
It should have been a much more interesting book, you feel.
Yes, so. I mean, she had a reputation of being difficult, which actually she doesn't come across in this book, and maybe she wasn't in her latter
life.
Days.
You know. Can't imagine her changing, though, because even, you know, the look that she was most famous for.
Yeah.
You can't imagine that just being an act the whole time. That was...
No, she must have been part of her.
Yeah. I think I would have been quite difficult if I was... as famous as Bette Davis,
but, yeah,
you know, frankly.
I think we're all entitled to be difficult at times. I can be very tricky.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to Monique Chambers and Jim Dunn on Beach Books and Beyond this week. So, Jim, we were just about to move to your next book. So you've got a pile here. Which one are you going to tell me about next?
Well, this one here, Close But No Cigar, is by a businessman called Stephen Purvis. Mm-hmm. It's a true story. How he got caught up in the politics of living in Cuba, which I absolutely adore. I love Cuba.
Dying to go, actually.
Oh, please go before
the Americans
yeah. ruin it. Sorry, Americans, but, you know, you're going to turn in there and you're going to ruin it. Mm. It's wonderful and falling down and dilapidated.
And all those cars.
And all these wonderful old cars. And they have some really lovely little hotels now.
Okay.
So, and little restaurants, so it's lovely. So apologies to Americans. Close But No Cigar is this guy who really... it's a funny book because you read it and you say, but why did you do that? He just gets mixed up with Castro's men and the legalities of running a business and gets accused of all sorts of things. But if you're interested, it's a bit of a thriller, really. Hmm. But he ends up in jail for about 5 years.
Oh, wow.
And the majority of the book is his life in jail, which was not very pleasant. And his family were still in Cuba, and then they were told to leave, and they went back to the UK. It's a bit of a thriller, but it's true, and I would recommend it.
So what's attracted you to it? Is it the Cuba thing?
Cuba,
it
was the travel Cuba thing. You know, I've been twice to Cuba. I love it. It's the most beautiful. Mm. You know, Havana is obviously fantastic, but if you can get out and go down to the country... because of the politics of the last 50 years, the country is completely unspoiled,
okay.
untouched. There's nothing.
No development.
Nothing. It's just beautiful countryside and gorgeous.
Actually, the music and the food and the cars and the faded elegance is something I just really want to.
Fabulous. So, I mean, take this book with you and go and spend a week there.
I love the cover, actually. It's really. I choose books by cover. It's normally my thing. You know,
I do as well. I look at a book and say, oh, that's nice. And then. And then I, having been in PR, as you know, you read the inside and you say, that's a PR who's written that. And you've got to really read between the lines before you buy
that
it.
Means,
yes, that really means it's going to be boring. The old champagne socialist himself, Alan Bennett, Keeping On is his latest tome of diaries. And he's wonderful. I love him.
Have you met him as well?
I have met him.
Okay.
And he's utterly charming. He probably would deny that he's a champagne socialist, but he is really a lovely diarist. Mm-hmm. And this is a year, I think it's a year, but there's a lot of his scripts. It's a huge, thick tome, as you can see.
Yeah.
But a lot of his scripts are in there as well.
It's like a written Instagram, sort of tells you everything.
Yes.
Everything that goes on.
Oh, yeah, happy. That's really good. And I look forward to his, I think it's every 18 months or every year he does it. He does a diary in the London Review of Books, I think it is.
Okay.
And this is the diary put into a book and then added to and edited.
So it gives you another reason to buy it.
Yes. Sort of, it's a very good one. I really recommend Alan Bennett.
And so does he have a particularly good year, or you could start with any year and they would all make sense to you? Or?
I think he generally has quite a good, because, you know, anything that Alan Bennett does, it goes on to the National Theatre and it's a huge hit. And then sometimes it transfers to the West End and you've got to fight for tickets. Mm. And so his plays are really big sellouts. But what I like about it is his anecdotes about meeting people and the things that happen to him and cycling in North London or wherever Highgate, wherever he lives at the moment. Very, very funny.
Very funny.
Anecdotally.
Okay, yeah. I'll have a look, actually, because it's nice to read about somebody behind the scenes rather than, you know, a normal autobiography. This is a different...
I think in this one he concentrates a bit on the lady In the Van, which was the play.
Yes, yeah.
And then he made the film. Mm-hmm. And the film was made at his real home, which he has since moved from. And it's the anecdotes about Maggie Smith.
Oh,
I mean, very, very funny.
You can imagine, actually, because yes. She was an absolute star.
Yeah, absolutely. That is a good read. If you like diaries. I also discovered years ago, I didn't bring a copy with me today, there's a book on a book about diary books. It's, a huge tome. And I always thought that would probably be my desert island book. If I had to take only one book to a desert island, it would probably be this book on a book about books on diaries.
So was it like a paragraph or section about different diaries and things?
Yes, and who wrote it.
And so were there other diaries in there that you've since gone ahead and...
Most of the diaries in that book were fairly old. They weren't current diaries. Maybe there's been an update since then.
Okay, it's a new one.
Yeah.
Maybe you could do that.
Try. If you never know.
Well, why not?
Absolutely.
While you're sitting on a plane or something between Malta and New York.
Yeah, the other habit I have apart from books is that I save up newspapers. I mean, I still read newspapers. So I save them up. So I get on a plane with a heap of papers, and somebody always says to me, can I read your newspaper after you've finished? And I always say, you can, but you do realize it's 6 weeks old, because I don't read the news.
Yeah, you read the features.
I read the features.
Which are 6 weeks old before they've even got to the paper anyway.
Probably. Yeah.
But always good to read, especially if you've missed that section, if you're going back to London or something. You
exactly.
To,
yeah. So I keep up on with that. I enjoy reading. So I don't read, but funny enough, I don't read too much in-flight books, but read newspapers, magazines.
I would just be thinking about my baggage allowance.
Yes, well, so you know, I get off carrying this huge...
Please tell me you throw away the magazines and the newspapers, or you actually keep those as well.
I keep glossy magazines.
Okay.
I rang up a friend the other day, they're here in Malta, and I said, look, I have got about 200 glossy magazines, Homes and Gardens and House and Gardens. And do you want them? And I thought she'd say no, and she said, no, I'll be right down. She brought the car to the door and we lived.
So loaded them up.
Magazines are not cheap, and they're beautifully
produced.
There
are some really beautiful magazines around. I take photos now of pages so that if there's an idea I want to, steal or something.
Yes.
So I've got it, and I have, if I'm buying a new house or something, I can store them, so that's for that room, that's for this house, that's for... Because otherwise you do have these piles. Why did I keep that one?
Yeah.
And then I'm lost again. They lose me for another couple of hours while I reread it, rather than doing the thing I'm supposed to be doing.
Exactly. There's a magazine called Country Life, which comes out every week, which I love. I don't read any. I read it for the houses, to look at the houses for sale and just dream. And, I mean, I do remember one year throwing away, it probably was 20 years' supply. I mean, can you believe
that? You'd have a little magazine library.
Seriously, I must be ill in some area. 20 years.
Well, you just don't want to waste paper.
I don't want to waste really lovely magazines and, lovely, colourful. And there's a great historical thing as well.
Yes.
Not that
being
I ever refer to
them. But maybe somebody needs to, and that's why you're really keeping them.
Yes, I usually give them to doctors' surgeries or hairdressers.
I wish you'd give them to my doctor's surgery, I tell you.
They're 20 years out of date.
I'll
remember that.
What else have you got here for us?
Well, this one I discovered. This is a lovely little book by Neil Thomas, a Welsh Western. He is Welsh. It's called All Through the Night. I think it looks as though it's self-published. And it's the story of, in the last century, how Welsh farmers would bring their cattle to the city of London.
Okay.
In droves to sell them, which I hadn't realized.
You just assume
that it goes on a lorry and it ends up on my table. So, and it's a lovely story. There's not much in between. But it's a lovely story of two brothers, I think it is, getting involved in some intrigue about sheep rustling, if that's what it's called. It's a nice little light summer.
So they don't go on a train?
They don't go. No, this was the days when there was trains, but not a lot of trains from Wales to London. So they actually drove them in.
Literally, physically.
By feet.
By feet, yes.
They walked in. It's Welsh Western, which is rich in adventures and incidents, the storyline has a strong cultural, emotional and human elements that make Western so appealing. It's his version of a Welsh Western.
Well, and so, it's, a lovely, yeah, it's almost the title makes you want to read it.
Yes,
it covers
it's a lovely little story.
As well, actually.
Yeah, lovely little story. I enjoy that.
And last but not least.
Last, John le Carré, Stories from My Life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've tried to read John le Carré books, and they don't make it for me at all. They really don't make it for me. But this one is stories from his life, so it's basically a biography or autobiography, and it really is interesting. It's not fiction.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about his life, and it's just a pile of stories. One you can read, they're all separate,
mm-hmm.
so you can read one and put it down.
You don't lose anything by it.
And I really, that's a very good one. I really
So John le Carré, The Pigeon Tunnel.
The Pigeon Tunnel, Stories from My Life, John le Carré.
Unusual title.
Yes, I don't know what it means. I don't remember reading about a tunnel, and I don't remember reading about a pigeon, but I'm sure it probably features somewhere in there.
Who knows?
Yeah.
And any other books you think we should be reading, obviously apart from yours, The Very Private and Public Relations, which I'm going to devour after my next book.
Read it with a Scottish accent.
Okay,
I shall try that. So it's a book that I thought might be inspirational. One or two younger gay people
mm-hmm.
have read it, and they, as anyone my age who's gay knows, that young people are amazed what we went
through to
get where we are today. And, you know, this week I'm going to a gay wedding of two friends. And I think it's marvellous that we've ended up where we are. We have still got to work
on
the perception of and the mind. We might have the law beside us, but we have to work on the minds of people now.
Yeah, it's just so bizarre. You just wonder why anyone cares, really. Yeah. Let people do what they want to do. But
that's
a whole nother program.
That's another program.
But I really have to thank you, Jim. It's been fascinating talking to you and going through your life in books. So that was Jim Dunn on this week's Beach Books and Beyond with me, Monique Chambers. Thanks for listening. Thank you for joining me, Monique Chambers, on this week's Beach Books and Beyond. I'd also like to thank Samuel Attard and Carmelo Brett for helping me to produce this programme. Join us again next week for Beach Books and Beyond, here on Campus FM.